into those things. I fell into, you know, liking girls is bad, but you shouldn't be ready to get married. Drugs, unfortunately, me, no, never. But I did all these and long story short, after, you know, time went by and I did something, I came to church. And when I gave my life to Jesus, there was an immediate change. And when I said that, God, not my way, but yours be done, you know, I became born again, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Being born again is not just coming to church. It's about a transformation. There is a total 180. This is why we have rock 180s. If you got a rock 360, you don't come in one way and live the other. We shouldn't come to this place and leave the same, because that's not intention. So the point of being a born again Christian to be different from what the world is, and that people would see Christ within you. So in our text, there's a man named Nicodemus. First water bottle. A Jewish leader was a Pharisee. See, I'm reading slower. After dark one evening, with Jesus. Rabbi, he said. All right, I'm back. We all know that God has sent you signs, evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Nicodemus explained. Can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? But I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again, watered in of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only by human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual birth. So don't be surprised, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, as you can, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born again in this spirit. A new creation. Let's look firstly at the need of being born again. Jesus states that we cannot make it into the kingdom of God without being born again. John 3, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus explained to a known religious teacher, he's supposed to know the Jewish laws, know the customs, and yet he understands this idea that becoming born again is not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. John 3, 4 through 5. How can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, no one can enter the kingdom of God with born of water and born of... Jesus mentions these two things, being born of the Spirit and being born of water. Let's look firstly at the Spirit. What is this spiritual birth? It's simple. It's when this is what we have our altars for. Before salvation, we're bound by all kinds of sin. And this sin that we are living in, it leads us to death physically, but also spiritually. And where we spend life eternally depends if we... But once we repent and we confess our sins, we are forgiven of our iniquities and we have become spiritually reborn. This doesn't mean that we go online and that's what people think, that we're perfect. No, we're not perfect. We just don't live a life of sin. There's a difference between living a life sinless, which was Jesus, and there's a difference between not living a life of sin, which is a lifestyle. Romans 6, 22, 23. But now you are free from the power of sin, and you have become slaves to God. But now you are free from the power of sin, and you have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So we have a spiritual birth that takes place, and in a nutshell, like I said, turning away from sin and living a life of holiness according to God's promises and His purposes for your life. The second thing that he mentions is water. Being born of water. Our fellowship believes, and once you repent of your sins and you become a newborn, then you signify that by being baptized. This is biblical. It represents a decision to follow Christ, and it's to God and others that you're going down in the water, putting down the flesh and your carnal desires, and you're coming up, and you're surrendering to God's will and His calling. But many religions have a very twisted mindset on baptism. I'm not going to call any religions out, but Catholicism baptizes children when they're babies, and this is not biblical. You know, the Bible is very specific about being born again in the Spirit and being born again in water. And babies are born into innocence. Not that they're not bad and that they don't listen, but it makes it impossible for them to make a decision of repentance. They can't even wipe their own butts. What makes you think they can pray for repentance? And yet many people believe that water baptism is for babies, for whatever reason it is. Sorry. Before, well, that's because you got a kid. Before Jesus, John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for him. John proclaimed the gospel, and he spoke with the need of repentance and water baptism. Matthew 3:11. Ooh, correct. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. We believe in dedication ceremonies. When you have a child, a couple weeks after, you give the mother a break. They come up here. We pray for it. We're dedicating the baby to God. And this is what Mary and Joseph did this as well, because they had an understanding of the importance of a dedication. We don't use water. We just pray for the kid. Luke 2:22. When time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jesus and presented him to the Lord. So that's what parents are doing. They're presenting it to the Lord. They're saying, God bless this child. Let him not be bad like Nelson and backslide. Let him be safe forever and be a blessing. Amen. So even when Jesus was baptized, he was baptized as an adult, not a child. He knew the importance of a water baptism. Many things Jesus had done weren't written in the Bible. They say that there's so many miracles and things done that there couldn't be a record of it. But the things that are done are written for a specific reason. They're on record for a reason. And in his ministry, what he did was intentionally wrote for you and I. And this is one of them. Matthew 3:13-15. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Ooh. But John tried to talk him out of it. He said, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? And Jesus replied, it should be done, for we must carry all God's requires. So John agreed. And I know that when Jesus came out the water, you know, like this, and then the heavens opened. And that's because he was stepping into his ministry. This was, I'm not sure the timeline before the crucifixion, but this was a signifying to God that he was to go forth with God's will, not his own. So the scripture speaks about the need for us to be again in the spirit and to be baptized. And these things are important for our lives that we live now and for the life after. 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not to a life that will end quickly. Your life will last forever because it comes from eternal living word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, title of a certain, new creation. It's biblical. Anyone that belongs to Christ becomes a new person. The old life is gone and the new has begun. And this is what a born-again Christian is. So let's look secondly at a new creation. So when you become a born again Christian, there should be a transformation physically and spiritually. We call transformation conversion. Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and turn from their darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This means that you're living an old life of sin, and you turn away from it, and now you're living a new life according to God. Galatians 2:20, my old has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So, in the earthly body, by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This scripture is very specific on transformation. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. I am no longer who I am, but I am who Christ who lives in me. Christians, we are supposed to be Christ-like. This is what separates us from the world. You ever heard of the saying, WWJD? It's for a reason. There's some practicality to the saying. Obviously, we're not going to be Jesus. We're not going to walk on water. We're not, well, the same power that he has, so maybe. I'll pray about it. Obviously, when people first get saved, there's a slow process. Some grow faster than others. Brian and I got saved together. It took me a long time. I believe because I'm a knucklehead, but for two, because I was backsliding. When you're backsliding, you don't ever want to go there. And if you are, you know how hard it is to come back to God. But when Brian got saved, homeboy had the next week. He knew more verses than I did. I've been in church my whole life, you know, and it took, you know, I'm going to call Yanni out too. It took him and I a while to stop doing things that we knew right from wrong. We knew we were doing wrong, but slowly and surely, God brought conviction into our hearts. And yes, we were born again and we made a decision, and but one sin at a time. My buddy had said to me, I want to come to your church, but you guys speak in tongues. I don't want to do that. And me and Brian are like, bro, just get saved first and then we'll worry about everything else. So, where was I? Sorry. So, like I said, this is when I said I experienced this personally. So now we all grow in salvation differently. But those who have been saved for some time shouldn't be deliberately sinning. That's when it's a problem. If you've been saved for a couple years now, you shouldn't be sinning deliberately. So sin is what man knows is right, but yet does wrong. We all know right from wrong. It's when within our conscience. And especially as Christians, we should know this feeling, aka conviction. So this is when God deals with us to change certain ways and areas in our life. It's not always a sin issue. Conviction's not always a sin issue. It could be that God's dealing with you to come to prayer. God's dealing with you to go to Sunday school. God's dealing with you to go to every service of the week. God's dealing with you to treat your wife appropriately or your husband appropriately. Or you need to change the way you're treating your children. Or, you know, when God asks you to or deals with you to pray for someone or step out in faith. You know, conviction is a good thing, and it's something that you and I should contend for as Christians, because God has put this within us because we need to change. So if you don't like to get conviction and you don't like God telling you what to do, it's too bad, because you're going to have to deal with it for the rest of your life. So with that being said, we are all born sinners and we fight our flesh. But as Christians, we don't have to live a life sinless, but we don't have to live a life bound by sin. We're not perfect, and we're not going to be. John, 1 John 3, 4 through 6. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins. There is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. That's very important. I'm going to say it again, just in case. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. That's what we are, born again Christians. Not that we won't be sinless, but we don't live a life of sin. To sin is one thing, but to keep on sinning is another. And that's what God has a problem with it. The issue is, a lot of Christians in our world today, people profess to be Christians, but they live a life of sin. Many people in churches don't have altar calls. And this doesn't mean that you're not a Christian and you say it if you don't have an altar call. But the intention of our altar calls, and I thought I had it without looking at it, okay, is that you would come here and say, God, change me. Show me my heart. Remove the wickedness and evil inside, because we're all wicked and evil without God. Paul even says that. Because we have issues. And the second we think we don't need this altar, you're wrong. And that's a pride issue and a heart issue. You should come to this altar crying every night and asking God to change you and shape you. You will spiritually be unhealthy if you live your life by not coming to this altar and asking God for, you know, forgiveness. We all need forgiveness, and we all need to change. And that's what the point of church is. And that's what the prayer is. The point of prayer is, we come in this way, one way, sorry, mad because the Bills beat the crap out of the Patriots. And I'm going to leave this night forgiving you guys. And although we're born again, it doesn't mean that we don't need to consistently change. This is the promise you and I are given. Sorry. Jesus promised us a new life when we become born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, is anyone in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Although we can be changed initially in salvation, you know, remember, born again, 180, we constantly need to be changed. There is a saying, I'm not who I am, and I'm not who I'm going to be. It's a good thing to change. We as Christians should constantly change for the better, growing towards Christ, not away. What's even more comforting is that God never changes, and God will never change, and his plans for you have not changed. Although I made decisions in my youth that my path could have been different, but God still had a plan for me, and here I am now. So, Although our past may change your decisions and actions, he still has a plan in the future no matter what. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The important thing to always remember is that God has chosen us. We did not choose him. Ephesians 5, 1 through 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. It gave him great pleasure. You see, God takes pleasure when people get saved. Luke 15, verse 7. In the same way, there is more in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God over 99 others who are righteous in heaven's state of faith. That's why we know, and I wish it was true, that they would all come to church. But in our haunted houses, God could do anything. But it's not practical that if 1,000 people come through, that all of them are going to fit in this building and come to church. But the point is, where's Anthony? That one did. And that's what it matters. That's all that matters. It's that one. And that's what heaven rejoices. And we know, that's why Brian brought the pastor the idea about the game thingy. I think Yanni got beaten madder than 100-0 by some kid that came. But he heard the gospel. But that's what we do, because it's valuable. Souls are valuable to us, and that's what we believe in as a fellowship. There's people that go overseas. There are people that plant churches, missionaries, pioneers, and it doesn't necessarily work all the time. Some people have to get redirected. But those people who did get saved, it's a seed that's planted, and that's all that really matters. Let's look lastly at obtaining the promise, eternal life. This spiritual birth, as I said earlier, can be acquired through repentance. Repentance is turning away from your sin and your carnal desires and turning towards God. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. People say, how do I say a sinner's prayer? Jesus, forgive my sins. I know that you died on the cross. Come into my heart. That's it. It's not religion. It's not our Father, Hail Marys, the little bell that they fly in the air with the smoke that comes out of it. No, it's just declaring with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that you will be saved. You see here tonight, becoming a born-again Christian should give you and I a new mindset because we become a new creation. You should look around the world and say, what is going on? You should say, man, this place is broken, and you should want something to do about it. You should want to have a desire to reach the broken, to reach the sick, to reach the weary. You should have a desire to pray, to read your Bible, to go to church, and to go to outreach. You should have a desire to join ministry and to be a blessing to your church, to your pastor, his wife, and to God's kingdom. You should have a desire to serve God and give him praise during song service. You should have a desire to go to Sunday school and to learn more about God's plans for you and his will. You should have a desire to give into God's kingdom financially. You should have a desire to have a personal relationship with the one who died on the cross for you and I so that you can be saved from the path of destruction that you are on. And that is what our fellowship believes in. We believe in evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. And that's what they were talking about. That conference that they went to, that's what we're all about. You should have a desire to do all these things because these are the desires in the heart of God. Also, because we're forever in him. Ernie Taupin said, if God never did anything else for me ever in my life, he's already done enough. And isn't that the truth? We should be doing for him more than... No, he doesn't have to do with us. I just said it. So, where was I? We should have a desire to do all these things because it's God's desires. Also, because we're ever, forever in debt to him for the death he died. 1 Peter 1:3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. It is his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. When Jesus died on the cross, he became the sacrifice so that we can be born again in the Spirit and forgiven of our sin. John 3:3-5, our main text. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Nicodemus explained. How can a man go into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus, I assure you, that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again of water and spirit. You see, being a born-again Christian is not only beneficial in this life that we live in, but we spend eternity, and that's what really matters. And the hope is that one day we don't have to fight this flesh. We don't have to worry about the Bills and the Patriots. We have our heavenly bodies with our heavenly Father. There's no more pain, no more sickness, no more suffering. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Lord Jesus. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by God's grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, but it's from God. You see, this gift of eternal life has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for this is how God so loved the world that he gave his own son, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not by our works or by our deeds that gets us into heaven. It's only through repentance and through God's grace that you and I can find our seats there. Ephesians 2:8-9, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. John 3:3, Jesus answered him and said, surely, I say to you, unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, 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 and again. The Bible says you must be born again. And they say, those crazy born again Christians, you guys are crazy. We're doing what the Bible says. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. You see, repentance is turning away from your sin and living a life according to God. I close with this. In a survey in 2020 by Pew Research Center, 65% of adults in the United States identified themselves as Christians. I looked up the definition of Christian on Google, and it was not what I was looking for, but I thought I'd share it with you guys because it was interesting. Because that 65% is exactly what Google said they were. Christian people who claim to be Christians, that 65%, they claim to relate or profess Christianity to its teachings, or they believe in the person receiving it, or they believe in Christianity, which none of that makes sense to me. But the Bible has a very different perspective and a very different definition of a Christian. You see, a Christian is someone whose behavior and heart reflects Jesus Christ. You see, followers of Jesus were first called Christians in Antioch. The book of Acts 11:26. When we found him, he brought back him to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch the believers were first called Christians. Now remember, if you don't know Paul, he was Saul, he became Paul, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is telling us we must be born again, so whatever Paul's saying must be true, because he had a revelation with Jesus Christ. And with us as Christians, it's not just today, and then Monday through Saturday, we go do what we want to do. No, being a Christian is 7 days a week. It's not only on Sunday. The question I leave you guys here tonight is, are you born again? Have you truly repented of your sins? And if you have, does your heart reflect Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads this evening. You see, here tonight, I preached a very simple but true gospel. And it's something that you and I should consider. You see, the Bible says that we're not promised tomorrow, and that we're all going to stand before God. And Jesus said in our text here tonight that you cannot make it into the kingdom of God if you are not born again. And I ended on a question. Are you born again? If you were to stand before God here tonight, would he say, welcome in, my faithful servant? Or would he say, depart from me, for I do not know you? It's very simple. Repentance, saying, God, forgive me for I have sinned. It's not religion. It's not confessing to a priest or doing your Hail Marys. It's crying out to your Creator, saying, God, change me. I'm sorry, forgive me of my sins. I don't want to live a life according to my terms. And that's what I did, I believe, almost 3 years ago. And it was the best decision I could make in my life. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I want this, I want that. No, God will take you as you are and change you slowly. It's a slow and steady process. And God has a plan for you. He has a hope in a future, the Bible says. But unless you're born again, God cannot bless your sin. And I wonder if there's anyone here tonight. You are not born again. You are not saved. If you were to stand before God tonight, you would not make heaven in your home. And if you would signify that, with lifted hands saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Anyone in this place at all? Maybe you once knew God. Maybe you walked with Him. And you strayed away. You know what the answer is. You are like me, a silly little church kid that made a bad decision. God's crying out to you tonight. He's calling you. Heaven rejoices over one more than 99 righteous. And you can be that one here tonight. I'll make one more last appeal. Is there anyone else? I'll make a call to Christians now. You see, although we can be born again, we can go living our life on our terms. You see, WWJD, everything you in this life should say WWJD. God, what do you want me to do? What would Jesus do? Maybe God's dealing with you in a specific area because you're claiming to be a born again, but yet you're living life on your own terms, or you're doing something that He would not accept. You can come here tonight at this altar. That's what this altar is for here tonight. It's for you to come and change. And I'm going to open this altar this evening. You guys come and talk to God. Make sure that we leave this place changed. We don't want to come here the same. We're going to sing that song. Here I am to worship. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. So let me see beauty that made. God, change us, God, let us leave this place changed. Oh, Father God, remove the wickedness. Oh, God, not our will, but yours be done. God, reveal, God, give us conviction, God, let us leave this place changed. Everywhere that we go, God, let them see Christ within us. Oh, God, we need you in this place here tonight. Father, pour fire from sha la 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 yo lo 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 lo. Thank you, Jesus, my dear. Lo 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 la 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 la. Jesus, we love you, we exalt you. Sha la 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 yo lo 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 lo. Let's God minister to your children. Everywhere that they go, everything that they do, God, let them represent us. Sha la 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 yo lo 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 lo. Here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're all together lovely, all together worthy, all to- here I am worship, for to me to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together. Let's stand. Here I am to worship. For to me, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I say that you're my God. You're all together lovely. All together. One more time. Sing it out to Jesus. Here I am. For to me I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely. All together. All together. Let's give God praise here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Shanda la 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 rio lo rio lo 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 rio. Oh yo lo 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 rio lo 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 lo. Thank you, Jesus. We worship your name.
la 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 la